So, welcome back. Okay, so what I'm going to ask you to do now is get yourself sorted into a good position and in your own time, without guidance, relax the body. Just relax the body, go through the points we talked about yesterday, relax it. Come to a very strong motivation. Focus on that motivation. And if we give that 2 minutes, no, 3 minutes. Let's say 3 minutes. I'm feeling generous. 3 minutes. And then we'll put the prayer up and we'll do the prayer. And we'll go straight into a review, quite a quick review, but just to highlight the main points. So just remembering that relaxation is the most important at this stage. Getting yourself comfortable. And go through the points in your mind, adjusting and adapting your position. Allowing your mind to sharpen.
Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
So we're relaxing the body, sharpening the mind, developing a strong positive motivation. And with some stability, trying to hold that motivation with your mind. And so if we put the prayers up, we can do the prayers if you're happy to do so. And even if prayers are not your thing, I'd recommend giving it a go. So keeping that motivation fresh in your mind. Sangye chodon soke chanam la jan chu bardu dagni kyap suchi dagi jin soke pe sonam ki drola penchir sangye drupar sho sangye chodon soke chanam la jan chu bardu dagni kyap suchi dagi jin soke pe sonam ki drola penchir sangye drupar sho. I take refuge until I am enlightened in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By my merits of listening to the Dharma, may I become a Buddha to benefit all transmigrating beings. Bringing the mind inward again. And to do that quickly, simply become deeply interested in how your whole body is reacting to each in-breath and out-breath. Each in-breath and out-breath. Allowing one part of the mind to gently scan the body, simply identifying areas of tension and continuing with the scan. This not only helps you identify the tension, but it also keeps the mind hooked internally. Keeping your normal path in the breath and without any effort. Simply notice that on each out breath, the tension flows away from the body naturally on each out breath. And as your whole scalp area relaxes, it generates ripples of relaxation, which begin to gently flow down the body and through the body, and wherever these waves touch, all tension is eased, all relaxation deepens. As all of this is going on in the background of your mind, you can also be aware of the changes, the smoothness of your forehead, the relaxation of the facial muscles, the spaciousness there now seems to be around the eyes and between the eyes. And even your shoulders have given up the burden and have dropped to a much more comfortable position. So far, this has been a very general internal meditation. Now we begin to sharpen our focus. And we become aware of, we become focused upon the movement of the abdomen with the breath. You're so focused, you notice the beginning of the movement, the middle, the end, the space in between, the next movement, totally focused. And your awareness shifts slightly now. And you begin to notice that without any effort on your part, without any change in the rhythm of your breath, on each in-breath, the mind is becoming brighter. Your relaxation remains, but the mind now becomes brighter on each in-breath, clear, sharp. Highlight the sharpness of your mind while retaining a relaxed body. You lift your awareness upwards from the abdomen to the sensation of the breath at the nostrils and the upper lip. Being aware of the full in-breath and the full out-breath. No change in the respiration, simple change in your awareness. And we remember that meditation, in the Tibetan sense, the Buddhist sense, is about making your mind familiar with positive attitudes and states of mind. A skill could be achieved by everyone. Proficiency depends on individual investment in the practice, your level of motivation, of perseverance and of understanding. This is what determines a good meditation. And although we meditate and our goal is often very secular, within Tibetan Buddhism, we're talking about a gradual transformation of the mind by reducing negative and harmful aspects of mind and increasing positive, beneficial aspects of mind. Meditation is not an end in itself, but it's a vital tool. Try to bring to mind the importance now of motivation and dedication. Try to bring to mind the points that we've covered on that. It's reasonable to expect some level of limited short-term happiness. But in the Dharma, this is seen as, at best, a temporary limited measure. At its heart, unsatisfactory and illusory. And so, in the Dharma, we're looking for deep, lasting benefits. Genuine lasting happiness. This is within the grasp of all. Because with meditation, we can develop our potential. We can discover and enhance our Buddha nature. And with that type of energy, liberation and enlightenment is possible. And so we make a strong determination right now that whatever my Buddhist practice is, I will start it with a strong positive motivation and I will end it with a strong dedication. Try to make this wish strong in your mind. And when it's as strong as you can make it, let everything else go and try to hold that determination with your mind. Never forget this part, because the mind alone determines our experience of happiness and suffering, the events of this life. Having done a meditation on loving kindness, we look quite deeply into how we could improve this with understanding of the topic, being very clear of language code, the different types of posture. Try to bring to mind the four different types of posture. Is there one of these type of postures you think you could try and practice, say, in the next couple of weeks? If there is, bring it to mind and focus. Gently bring to mind the 7 points of the postures that we discussed. And as you bring each one to mind, adjust your posture to incorporate that fully. Remember the analytical meditation, the points, and the points of stable meditation. Try to bring to mind the meditation we did on compassion, where we clearly identified the analytical aspects and the stability aspects. See if you can get a feeling of how it flows together and works well together. I talked about what to meditate on. and how important it was to find a structure that you can trust, that has good lineage, and when worked with, will give you a clear picture of the entire path. Try to bring to mind. And with an understanding that there are many structures. If you're going for a structure that shows you the whole path within the Gurukula tradition, which is my tradition, then there is heavy emphasis on the path to enlightenment, the Lamrim, the text. It was written by a teacher. It contains all the teachings, easy to put into practice, and can be taken as personal advice. But you don't believe me, you have a look at it. You test it out. In this path, not only is it a path from ignorance to wisdom, it's a path from bondage to freedom. Each topic carefully crafted to move the mind towards wisdom, to move the mind towards stability, with one purpose, to see things as they really are. With this type of background, it gives you confidence to look at many other types of meditation and benefit from them, not confused by them, benefited by them, because you see where they fit. Of everything we've reviewed, is there one thing that appeals to you more than another? Is there one thing that sticks out for you as being worthy of further study? If there's many things, that's good. But try to think of the most important one for you. Bring it clearly to your mind. And when it's as clear as it can make it, let everything else go. No more mental chatter. Hold that. Remembering the motivation you had at the beginning, mentally gathering the energy that you've created, and mentally direct that energy towards achieving your goal. If you know the four-line prayer of dedication, then just whisper it to yourself. Don't finish a meditation without this. Thank you very much. I know I spend a lot of time reviewing, but I think we've had so much to do in your life, so much activities going on. You know, you forget so much, but it just takes sometimes just a little review to bring it all back. That's my feeling. So, what I'd like you to think of now, if you've got pen and paper to hand, that would be good. Is, if you think about it, there are many, many, many problems that we encounter with meditation. You could say countless. You can say countless. And often when people have particular difficulties in meditation, they think they're kind of unique. So we're going to look at that. So the texts are clear about this. There are really only two real difficulties in meditation. And in the text, they talk about obstacles to meditation. There are really only two. And in Tibetan Buddhism, when you hear two, you're very grateful, because there's usually bigger numbers involved in everything here. So two. One is called excitation. Excitation. And what you're talking about here is a distracted mind. Can't settle. Many thoughts coming to you. Many visions coming to you. Many colors appearing in your mind. All your senses on high alert. You could have been in a room for hours and never noticed a small sound. Try and meditate with that small sound. It's a huge distraction. What we're really talking about here is a mind that's excited. It's an agitated mind. Agitated with thoughts, ideas, emotions, sounds, taste, everything. So most of our problems come into that. And the second obstacle to meditation is called laxity. And really what you're looking at is a dull mind, very dull, sleepy, wandering off, daydreaming. Difficulty to move that mind. You're trying to make maybe generate a picture of something. And it's almost sluggish in the doing of it. What I'd like you to do now is to spend 5 minutes for you. What are your major obstacles to meditation? What have you come across for you personally? Now, don't worry about calling it excitement or laxity. We could do that later. But in your own words, what happens? What type of obscurations come? What are happening in your mind or outside that's taking your mind off what you should be doing? What are your obstacles? Spend 5 minutes, write them down. as you're doing this, it may come into your mind what you do to counteract it. If that happens, make a jot down. Yes, this happens, but if I do this, it helps. So 2 minutes left. Thank you. So, what type of problems in meditation do we all have, but you in particular? So who would like to start?
Good morning, Ven Mary. It's Mervi Cristina.
Hello, dear.
Hello, hello. So obviously I have both of these obstacles with what we discussed. So excitement or and laxity. So what happens with excitement is the fact that I have basically this cascading waterfall of, you know, emotions and people and situations that come to me. And then it feels to me that the place of meditation is for me to think about stuff on my own. So I very quickly, I start engaging with, you know, whether it's the problem with the person or problem with the situation. Then in laxity, it happens as well. So how I describe it here is like, it's kind of like a daydreaming, but the best way to describe it, it's a little bit like when you drive in a car from A to B, and then suddenly you go like, oh my God, how did I get here? How did I actually get here? So I find myself that, you know, I might be sitting, if there's not these thoughts coming, then I go exactly this dullness, almost like I wake myself up in the middle of the meditation, like, where was I? Where am I? So, and then I noted down some antidotes for myself. So I think the breath is very important in both cases. So just whether it's excitement or laxity, just come back to your breath. Then I noted down that focusing on the topic. So if I do analytical, that only one thing at the time, not, you know, if obviously other stuff will keep coming, but I kind of like acknowledge, but don't engage. Just, you know, come back to the topic. And then, oh yeah, this is what I started now, thanks to you, practicing is the remembering impermanence and remembering the death. You know, this is something that immediately when I come out of the meditation, but also in the meditation, if I get too overwhelmed, I just like, okay, remember impermanence, remember death. And that kind of like, I always find so much calmness with that. So.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I'm done. That's a second cover. No, that's perfect. And does that work for you?
The antidotes?
Do they work?
They do, because when I remember them. So I immediately, when I remember them, so that's why I'm like, practicing more and more and more, that it becomes almost habitual, that okay. I'm kind of like, yeah, coding myself, as I would like to call it, programming.
So if you know the type of difficulties you get into in meditation, and most of us have got a handful that always crops up, then you should have, as you have, is a handful of antidotes. Now, antidotes are okay, but if you are not aware of what's going on, you have to be aware that your mind is not on the topic. You have to be aware that it's sleepy. So it's really a case of catching yourself earlier and earlier and earlier. This is what practice is. And we've all been in situations, I can think of many, where you suddenly go, how did I get here? You know, I remember cycling to work. 10 o'clock in the morning around the North Circular Road to go to work in Wembley Hospital, and I got to the gates of Wembley and I could not tell you, but it's there, you know. And in meditation with practice, the idea is, you know, this is going to happen, you try and catch it earlier and earlier, but it's not a sort of tightness, it's really more of an openness, it's more like open awareness, really being aware of what's going on. And you catch that earlier and earlier, and you apply the antidote. It's very good. There are times, depending on what you're doing in meditation, where something comes up and it's important. And you change your topic and you focus on it. There are times. I'm not a fan of that, but I can see at times that can be useful. But what you said about remembering the topic is very, very important. Do what you set out to do. If you set out to do an analytical meditation on compassion, do it. And if you're doing anything else, park it. You can deal with that later. But right here, right now, this is what I'm doing. And of course, you mentioned the breath. Breath is a very good antidote. Very good antidote. Why? If your problem is mostly excitation, what is it preventing? It's in the mix, and it's an obscuration. Why? If your mind is full of excitation, it stops you being stable. It really prevents stability. So your mind is kind of like this, very hard to try and control a mind that's not stable. When your mind is dull, when you're daydreaming, what's the obscuration there? The obscuration is to clarity. So that's what is pretending. And we're all, almost like you pretend, you come out of your meditation, that was good. Really, you always ask yourself, how clear was I? How stable was my mind? And if the answer is not very, be more careful in your meditation. Start to take note. Be hyped. Again, I don't want, you're on a topic. Let the awareness spread. So you start noticing things earlier and earlier until you start to notice not an excitement, but a change in your energy level that's a precursor to the excitement. That happens. It puts you in more control. Doing what you set out to do, very good. That's my main thing. I love that. But it may come up and it's something you have to deal with, then you have to deal with it. But the problem I find is when people tell me about these things come up, I'm like, Mary, this came up and it was so important. And I'm saying, yeah, what happened then? Well, and this, that, and the next thing. And I'm going, aha. And did you do your meditation on impermanence? Oh, no, you don't understand. You see, this happened. And I'm saying, aha. See, it's our habit to be distracted. It's not our habit to be focused. And you get people, I've had it, Mary, I was in the zone and the Buddha appeared to me. I said, that's wonderful. How wonderful was that? It was wonderful, Mary. And he did this and he did that. It was a fantastic meditation. I'm saying, that's really great. You were meant to be meditating on the breath. How did that go? Oh, you don't understand. So the mind will play many, many, many tricks to take you away from what you're meant to do. Yeah. Okay, thank you, Hen. Thank you. Anyone else? What type of obscurations are coming up for you?
Hi then, Mary. It's Lindsay.
Hi, Lindsay.
Hi. It's just a really quick one. I've experimented over time with eyes shut or eyes partly open, and neither is ideal for me because if I have my eyes closed, I generally feel sleepy. If I keep them even slightly open, I find myself blinking a lot and being distracted, even if I do, you know, blur things slightly and take things out of focus. So I'm really not quite sure which I should really try and work on more, I think.
Well, for some people, having their eyes half open is perfect. It's what's recommended because it lets enough light in to keep you awake, but not enough to distract you. For other people, though, they can't do it, so they have their eyes quite wide open. Now, there are certain meditations later on where this is essential, but doing general Lam Rim meditations, you can do them with your eyes wide open if that's helped. If that helps, you just have to be aware of the problems. Everything has its difficulties. If you have your eyes wide open, and I know quite a few people that meditate on Lam Rim with their eyes wide open, but they're clever. They keep their gaze, they practice their gaze so that their gaze is very soft it's very unfocused. Because with having your eyes open, the problem is distraction. You'll see, your peripheral vision is usually very good. So this movement here and this movement here and that color over there, and this is what we do. We live in a samsaric world governed by the five senses. So anything that will distract any of the five senses, it's our habit to follow it. It's our habit to follow noise and smell and taste and touch, and particularly sight. So if you need to meditate with your eyes wide open, if you can keep your gaze kind of soft and unfocused, you might get away with it.
Oh, okay, I'll try that version.
Thank you. But really, over the generations, half open is really quite perfect. But it also says if you have to meditate with your eyes closed, especially some of these meditations, then do so. But check it out. What's the dangers of meditating with the eyes closed? The dullness and the sleepiness. If you're sitting quiet and you've relaxed the body and you've closed your eyes, what does the mind think? Sleep.
Yep.
Daydream, dull. So the chances of that happening are quite high. They're quite high. But you may be one of these people who can do it. My preference is to know how to do all this with your eyes opened, closed, half opened. And I like that because if I'm getting dull, I open my eyes a wee bit more, let more light in. If I'm getting too excited, I close my eyes a wee bit more, let less light in. So the thing about, and we're just talking about eyes, the thing about eyes is if you're happy either way, you can then adjust and adapt given the ongoing situation. But if you're fixated on one thing, this is why having your eyes half opened is helpful. Because there's a time when you open it more and there's a time when you close it more. Now, for some people, eyes can be very difficult, especially as you get older. And some people find things like mist drops beforehand very helpful, because in aging, the mucosa dries up in the eyes. It's very easy to get dry eye as you get older. Some people with hormonal changes, this happens a lot. And so one of these eye sprays is very helpful. So we don't ignore what's out there to help us. Yeah. Anything else? Lindsay.
Oh, sorry, me. yes, I think what Em said, actually, I think the idea of using the meditation as an opportunity to, this is my bit of space for me to have a ruminate on things that I've spent my day pushing to one side because I'm busy. And it's almost a luxury of a little bit of mental space. So I find myself going off just basically what Em said, actually. And it's just trying to be more alert to the fact that I'm doing that.
We share a samsaric world. We share samsaric habits. And one of our habits is if you're quiet and you're breathing in a certain way and you're calm and your eyes are soft, yes, you're going to start to ruminate. You're going to start to daydream. That's what we need to break that habit.
Yeah, yeah.
Just park it. Don't ignore it. It may be important, but make a time to do that, but not now.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm more aware of that than I used to be. That was more at the beginning. And I used to find myself also getting into that semi-dreamlike state where you're having lots of images, just, you know, when you're dropping off and you're not dreaming, but you're starting to dream a bit. And some of the things that come up can be quite interesting. And again, getting distracted by those, but they were things that happened more in the past.
Are we talking about hypnagogic experiences?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what's that.
Flashing of pictures?
Yeah, possibly.
Sort of quite flash, a real flashing of different pictures. Very clear.
Sometimes that happens.
Okay, that's pre-sleep.
Yeah.
Just before sleep.
Sorry, I'm terrible. I'm doing all the bad things.
You've noticed that. Your body is very relaxed. But what you have to do now is to sharpen your mind. That's all.
I'm going to try and do what you said, Ben Mary, as opposed to going partly open all the times not working, closed all the times not working. So the idea of being able to just go between the two, you know, and not think it has to be one or the other. I think that's really helpful. Thank you.
I mean, at certain stages, the movement's not too much of a problem. As you progress in meditation, though, being able to keep still is going to be important. Okay? The stiller your body is, the more stable you become. So I'm not saying keep blinking or keep doing this, but try them, you know, and slight movements won't cause you too much trouble to start with.
I found I used to be able to focus more when I was able to sit more in a lotus position, but I've had a problem with one of my knees, and I find I'm less focused when I'm sitting in a chair than I used to be when I was sitting on a cushion. So I might, when you said try and work on one of the positions, I might try and go back to that a bit more, and outside that might help.
Yeah.
Yeah, and do some more exercise that might help me get back to that again.
If we ever meet up, I'll have some funny stories about that.
Thank you very much anyway for that help. Thanks.
Anyone else that's different from what we've heard already?
Hi, Van Mary, it's Amy.
Hi, Amy.
Hiya. The obstacles I'd come up with were being distracted by the small sounds in my house, being critical of my own meditation and telling myself off for not doing it properly, starting thinking about things I need to do rather than meditation, coming out of my zone and daydreaming. Now, all of the things, the antidotes, the things that have come up the last few days, and I've started putting them into practice, and I can see that I'm not getting it fully, but I can see how it will help. The first one, I started using music to drown out the sounds in the house, and I found that, you know, the Himalayan throat chanting, that's quite nice to just... So you don't think about it when it's there in the background. I've started identifying when the obstacles are happening and just acknowledging them and letting them go. The thing about consciously bringing your mind back, I've been doing that without judgment, rather than when I was trying that before, I was thinking, oh, for God's sake, how many times have you been thinking about that? I'm supposed to be thinking about this. No, just acknowledge, let it go, come back. And the two breaths technique that you taught us for when I do come out of the zone and get back in again.
Okay, so I'm hearing a lot of self-criticism here.
Yeah.
I've never even bought into that whole idea, but I know it's prevalent. I know it's prevalent. You really... Oh, no. You see, there is enough people in this world that will criticise you. Have you noticed?
Yeah.
Right. So don't do it to yourself.
I think until the last few days, I've not realised that I'm doing it to myself. But once you notice it, you think, it's all right, just let it go. not hurting anybody.
It is prevalent, isn't it? A lot of people have this kind of self-criticism. The only thing I can think of, and what I've spoke to people about it, is because it's difficult when... I think really to get rid of that is to just rejoice.
Yeah.
To just rejoice. All these people out there will tell you you're not doing this right, you're not doing that right, and pointing out all your flaws. We're very good at it. We're extremely good at pointing out other people's flaws. And when you turn that harshness on yourself, I'm not saying you shouldn't notice when you're doing things wrong, but this constant voice, this constant criticism, no. So start practicing, rejoicing more and more.
Thank you.
is that I did this, you know. I did 30 seconds of meditation. My God, that was wonderful. How wonderful. Instead of the voice that says, is that all you can do? You see, this voice, this, it's not separate for who you are. You're doing it to yourself.
Yeah.
I bet you're doing it to yourself. I've never been into self-flagellation. I recommend you stop doing that.
Thank you, yeah.
You're welcome. Sound, you were talking about sound.
Mm.
That's interesting, isn't it? I hear people saying, I was doing a meditation and I heard a sound, so I changed my meditation to the sound and I made the sound my meditation. Now, I think in some schools they recommend that, certainly not in the Galupa school. Can you do that? Yes, you can. Can it be useful? Yes, it can be. Is it doing what you set out to do? No. So, when you're setting a room and an environment, it's good to have things around you that please the senses. You know, so having a, this is why altars are very useful. If you've got an altar with nice images of the Buddha, your teacher, some offerings, you know, in a space that's reasonable and you're only using it for meditation. And when it comes to sound, I do know people who do their meditation with a very low level sound, either mantra or some sort of thing. I can't do that. I find that very difficult. Is it useful? I think it could be to certain people. Here's the difficulty. If you get used to doing that and making that the only way that you really get a good meditation, when you start developing shamatha, it becomes an obstacle.
Mm.
Noise is is one of the greatest obstacles to meditation, generally. In analytical meditation, you can play with it. You can do something that reduces it greatly and you still have a very fruitful analytical meditation. However, when you're developing shamatha, it becomes one of the biggest obstacles. So my idea would be sometimes use a little bit of music, sometimes use any music. Sometimes maybe have some noise-cancelling earphones on. When I was telling a certain difficulty to Dr. Alan Wallace, Lama Alan Wallace, who was my shamatha teacher many years ago, and I was going on about all this difficulty I was having, and he's sitting there and he's being very kind and he's making notes. And I went on and on about all these distraction noises. He said, here you are, May. Here's your solution. He handed me a piece of paper and it said, noise-cancelling earphones. And he was right. And he was right. So play about with it. Play about with it. But don't, if you can, don't rely.
Yeah.
Try not to rely. And use what's out there. Use what's out there. There are some, not too expensive now, in-ear noise cancelling. And if you're distracted visually, nothing to stop you using a mask. But if you use a mask, use a 3D mask. You know what I mean by a 3D mask? Where it's padded around the eyes.
Oh.
So on the eyes. And you can have your eyes half opened.
Mm.
A 3D mask. Yeah?
Yeah.
That can be useful. So, look at what's out there. We've got lots of stuff out there that may be useful. Okay, thank you for that.
Thank you.
Yes. Anyone else got something different? Or very pertinent to them? No? So let's round this up then. With the idea really is with understanding that excitement can be anything that's interfering, any thoughts, ideas, emotions, visions, things like that, that distract you. That comes under the heading of excitation. And that will prevent your mind being stable. anything that leads you into daydreaming, anything that leads you into dullness or laxity, that really comes under the heading of laxity. That's all laxity. And it's good to have at least one or two methods you practice quite regularly that counteract that. Have them. It's like having a doctor's medicine bag with you. You're having a difficulty, I will employ this. Instead of giving up the meditation, I will employ this. But to do that, you have to know what works for you, and you have to practice it in your meditation. So if we look at excitation, which is the biggest problem really, is certainly in the beginning, what works? The texts are very clear. People, meditators will tell you, focus in firmly on the breath for a few moments, even a few minutes, is so powerful. Let everything else go. Now, what are you doing when you're focusing firmly on the breath? You're doing a stabilizing meditation. That's what you're doing. And so that will definitely start to reduce these random thoughts, this random excitation. So that's very good. So have that in your arsenal. The other thing is to, when we've been sitting for a while, although you started off with a good posture, how many times have you suddenly done this and changed your posture? So go through the points of the posture. Make sure your back is, particularly your back is straight, but go through the point. Just slightly readjust. See if that helps. If there's too much light coming in, then maybe close your eyes or lower your lids even more. You can disengage slightly. You can actually observe the thoughts. The thoughts are coming. Disengage from your meditation. Recognize the impermanence and mentally let them go. Just mentally let go and come back to your meditation. Instead of pretending they're not there, acknowledge, let go. Very helpful to let go on the out breath. That will help you very much in shamatha. Practice it now. Helpful. Being patient with yourself and not critical, very helpful. Because you see, it doesn't matter if you noticed in a 15-minute meditation, if you notice 100 times your mind has wandered. Instead of being critical, my mind has wandered 100 times. What you say is, how wonderful, I've noticed. 100 times I've noticed that my mind's wandered. Both are true. What are you going to focus on? Your choice. Now, there are other meditations that you can learn. One's called the seat, the navel seat meditation. If we've got time tomorrow, I'll do that with you. It's also possible, if you're well-versed in the Lamrim, that you may want to apply, just for a few minutes, apply your understanding of, let's say, death and impermanence, as has been mentioned before. Perhaps even a few moments or a few minutes, focusing on death and impermanence, realizing you don't want to waste this precious life. You can clear the mind and stable the mind enough to go back to your meditation. Perhaps remembering your motivation again, let the meditation settle and saying, why am I doing this? Drive your motivation up. That's why I'm doing it. It can really help stabilize the mind and keep you going. If you're studying for the moment, say on emptiness or on karma, this is one of the reasons you should study these topics. They can become an antidote to the problem that you're having. Now, you don't go off and do a meditation on that, but you bring to mind the main points. You feel your mind becoming stable. You're in the zone again. Let it go. Go back to your meditation. But focusing on the breath, posture, lights, letting the thoughts go on the out-breath. Have at least those in your arsenal. And if we've got time, we might go into more in-depth ones. Now, the mind that's dull, the mind that's lax, the mind that's drowsy, I think you've got to come to an understanding. Are you tired? Are you tired? Do not wait nearly 40 years as I did to find out that you don't push through tiredness for your meditation. And so it's the one thing Lama Alan taught us very early on. Most of the Western world, actually most of the world, modernity, is sleep deprived. It's sleep deprived. And so when you sit down to meditate, the body's desperate for sleep. The mind is desperate for sleep. And it may be that you're better off taking a rest. And if you've got a lifestyle that is actively depriving you of sleep, if you have a mindset that says sleep is a waste of time, then change that mindset. Sleep is highly important. Rest is highly important. The research that's coming out now on what happens when you sleep is fascinating. Seemingly when you're sleeping, that's the time when the mind is getting rid of all the negativities, all the detritus of cellular manipulation. It's a huge purification at night. Some of the research is excellent. So maybe question yourself about your sleep. Once more, posture. Check your posture. If you're in the habit of hunching over, or if you're in the habit of leaning against a wall, be careful. Watch your posture. If you're sitting on a chair, have something under the lower part of your bottom, the upper part of your bottom, so that your pelvis is tilted slightly, so that your spine becomes erect. Try not to lean against a wall. Try not to lean against the back of a chair. Again, manipulating the eyes, opened or closed. It may be that the room you're in is too dark. Maybe let some light into the room. Test it out. Depression is a big problem. And if you have a depression, low grade, medium grade depression, that can make the mind very dull. You need to look at that. You need to look at that. And deal with it. And if all of this is not working, maybe you just need to take a break, okay? Maybe you just need to take a break. But here's what you can do to get that energy, because dullness, sleepiness, it prevents clarity. So bring something into your mind that highlights clarity. Personally, I find joy does it for me. Not just rejoicing in myself, but rejoicing in other people, what they do. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing what other people do, how they benefit you. So allowing joy to come, very important. But there's other positivities, remembering your precious human rebirth. If you understand that, bringing some of these points to mind. And there's another meditation which we might do later, which is another it's kind of a pre-tantric meditation, which you may have practiced before, having a seat at the navel and shooting it through the crown chakra. We might try that tomorrow. It's quite involved. And I certainly wouldn't be doing it immediately. I would be trying the other things first. And there's others. There's body of light meditations you can practice, hollow body meditation. If your problem is pain, you need to be able to deal with that. And there's ways of doing that. Whatever sensations arise, whatever thoughts, whatever type of discouragement, they don't exist, you know. There's no self in any of that. It's merely an aberration, a habit that's going on. You can deal with it. You can deal with it. Everything can be dealt with. Any lingering questions on that? Again, posture, breath. The other one for the breath for dullness that I find useful is, again, just going back every time I breathe in, my mind becomes brighter. I'm not trying to make my mind brighter, okay? Just naturally on the in-breath, my mind becoming brighter. If you get used to that in your relaxation, that's a very good antidote to a mind that's dull and sleepy. My preference is always joy because it works for me. Find out what works for you. Okay. So anything else anybody would like to say about that? Anything I've missed out? Not covered? Okay. So now what we're going to do is we're going to do a meditation. And in this meditation, I want you, I mean, you've obviously, I'm not going to go through the analysis and the single pointed, see if you can manage that. But here we're going to focus on when the mind is going dull and the mind is too excited with different thoughts. I'm going to lead you in the meditation, but you note when this is happening. And when it's happening, employ one of the methods. Tune me out. If I'm still rabbiting on, tune me out. Employ the method. This is the reason for doing this meditation is to get used to noticing when your mind is distracted or dull, employing a method and seeing how it works. So just for a minute, decide now. If my mind becomes full of thoughts and I'm getting distracted, what will I do? Decide now, which of these will I try? Just try one. Just make a decision. If my mind becomes dull, drowsy, daydreaming, which method will I use to counteract it? Good. Well, we shall do the meditation. Please make yourself comfortable in a good posture. In your own time, I'd like you to employ a relaxation exercise. Let your body fully relax. Let your mind brighten. Generate a strong positive motivation and hold it. And if you're happy, just mentally say the prayer. So I'm going to give you 5 minutes to do that. So we consider. That if we're going to walk the path from ignorance to wisdom, from bondage to freedom, we need to know that we have all that is necessary to develop and achieve that freedom. We have, in fact, a perfect human rebirth. All life is precious, but not every life has the opportunities of a perfect human rebirth. Ask yourself the question, is it my habit to appreciate this life? Or is it my habit not to be aware of the opportunities that I have? If I am not aware of the opportunities I have in this lifetime, is it caused by depression? Is it caused by low self-esteem? Is it based on past harm to others or by others? Do I have a perpetual feeling that life is unfair? Do I have a poor me attitude? Be honest. The human condition makes these points happen to most people. But the problem is, do I identify with these states of mind concretely? This is who I am. And with this depressed mind, am I in the habit of turning outwards towards friends and family? Many who are in the same boat. And even if I get some relief, am I ultimately left with a deep feeling of frustration? What's the truth? The Buddha Dharma clearly says that we already have everything we need to develop genuine happiness within our own mind stream. You're not waiting for someone to give this to you. You have it already within your mind stream. It is your Buddha nature. this potential for genuine happiness, they're already waiting to be developed. All sentient beings have this Buddha nature. But as a human being, with the teachings around us, living in a civilized part of the world, have enough to eat and drink, as a human being, we can access this potential by understanding and experiencing mind itself. As an intelligent human being, we can apply discriminating wisdom to all our actions. We don't have to accept what we've always done. We don't have to accept what is culturally the norm. We can apply discriminating wisdom to all our actions. With some effort, we can deconstruct rubbish ways of thinking, harmful ways of being, and we can reconstruct with wisdom wonderful ways of being, beneficial ways of acting. We do this. That's our potential. To progress along this path and to avoid frustration, we need to see ourselves clearly. We need to be honest. We need to see all our positive qualities, all our negative qualities. And we decide to align ourselves with our positivities. Here's where I will stand. I will stand with my qualities. Not beat myself up. I will stand with my quality and I will transform and eliminate negative qualities that harm myself and others. I can do that. In the Lam Room, one of the first meditations you do, one of the first, is to recognize your perfect human rebirth. Understand that we have all the qualities and freedoms necessary to make this journey. We need to recognize them and identify with them. We are so fortunate. And it's recognizing your good fortune gives you energy for the journey. So go over these main points. Try to generate this kind of positive energy. I have all I need. I can do this. And when that feeling is as strong as you can make it, let go of all verbal mental chatter and focus. Your mind will wander, bring it back to that energy. I can do this. Thank you. So hopefully in this meditation, you could recognize a bit of analysis, a bit of stability, motivation, any difficulties you were having with excitation or laxity, and if you had the chance to apply any antidotes. So in your group, please discuss that meditation, review it. In particular, identify any obscurations that you had and what method that you applied. What was the outcome? Okay, so 15 minutes in groups.
So people are coming back now. Let's see who we've lost. It's 8 seconds. Some people come back early. I think we've lost one person in that process. Not to worry. Hopefully they'll come back. Ah, there, we're all back.
Okay, welcome back. So as I said before, if we arm ourselves with a couple of antidotes that work well for us, then you don't have to interrupt your meditation that much. And with practice, very little time. The big problem is always identifying when your mind's wandered, identifying when your mind is getting sleepy. Once you've got that on board, applying the antidotes can be quite quick. So give me some feedback. How did your discussion go? How was the meditation for you? And did you apply the antidotes? If so, how did that go?
Hi there, Mary. It's Bill. Can you hear me? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I was in discussion with Lynn, and we both seem to have slightly different views on it. Lynn really enjoyed the meditation, and I was concentrating on all the remedies, the antidotes, and you did say zone out, didn't you? So I may have zoned out a bit on you, but yeah, I was opening my eyes, closing, you know, straightening my spine, stuff like that. But the big thing that came out of it for me and the whole course is placement meditation, you know, because sometimes I've been setting myself a timer. And the time's up, and I've been analysing all the time. So a big thing for me is the timer's out the window. The meditation's going to be done when it's done, you know. And And the idea of dipping into the placement and out of the placement, it doesn't have to come at the end.
No.
You know, so that's been really good for me.
If you haven't done it throughout, then do it at the end.
Yeah.
But if you've been doing it throughout, it's quite nice to finish with a placement, though. It calms everything down, but it doesn't have to.
Right, yeah. Yeah, and so, yeah. And the motivation and dedication, that's fine. Yeah, so really I was applying the methods, really opening my eyes, closing my eyes, straightening my spine. Because when you slump, you start to get groggy, don't you? You know,
definitely.
Stuff like that, yeah. I don't know whether Lynn wants to add anything to it or not.
Yeah, I can do. I can say a little bit, because I think, you know, Bill was using the methods and was able to talk about what he did. And I certainly did that at the beginning, because when you gave us the 5 minutes at the beginning to relax and to set ourselves a motivation, I realised I was quite tired. So I thought, oh, you know, I'm going to have to make sure that I don't wander off here. But when you carried on to the main part of the meditation, I had quite a different experience, which was probably quite personal to me. And I know you said we should be working on the methods and not going into the subject matter, but I will own that I did a bit, because I actually recognised myself, certainly historically, in some of what you're saying. Because I'm a person who did grow up with quite a negative mindset because of stuff way back in the past. And it took me a long time to realise what was happening and to address that. But I think I have to a large extent now. But what I really felt strongly about was the placement meditation at the end. Because having kind of mentally recapped on that situation, I then was able to sit with joy, with rejoicing about where I am now at the end.
And when you were rejoicing, could you feel the tiredness lift, the mind brighten?
Yes.
Really good.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Thank you.
And the more you practice, the more you get in, you begin to own this. It's good to hear things like, oh, that was a great meditation, you did that one. These are not my meditations. These are Dharma meditations. These are traditional. This is what your teachers teach you. You teach other people. And so what becomes important is you experiencing it and owning the difference. That's the joy of it, I think.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Anyone else like to share? I'm particularly interested in being aware of when you're getting excited or dull, and if you applied any type of antidote in particular, but happy to hear whatever.
Hello, it's Carol.
Hello, Carol.
Hello. So I was particularly aware of how dull my mind is. And almost from the get-go, just wandering off, you know, thinking about other things. So I was applying the antidotes of opening my eyes, experimenting with having my eyes open and using the breath and correcting my posture, which I do tend to slouch. And all those seem to help. I found it difficult to stick to one antidote. I needed more than one. So, it was really useful actually to notice just how dull my mind is today.
It's good. It's good to have more than one. It's just for the purposes of this exercise, I asked you to choose one simply so your mind didn't, well, I use this. And before you know, the meditation's finished, you've spent most of the time choosing which one to do, which is why beforehand. But the more that you've practiced and the more that you come to it, the better. Because one day the breath will work. The next day, not. Okay, then I'll check my posture. One day, those won't work. I'll open and close my eyes a bit. You know what I mean? So the more you have, the more antidotes you have and that you have that you've practiced and are comfortable with, just apply, keep applying. If you can keep your awareness bright, that's the trick. That's the trick. Yes. Oh, hello, Hen.
Hello. I decided at the start that I was going to use, that it was more likely that I was going to get excited and distracted because I live on a main road and it's quite noisy.
Yeah.
So I decided I was going to just use my breath to try and refocus. But actually, the fact that you were talking, that actually brought me back and refocused me. So I didn't need to use any of the other distractions because you actually did it for me.
Well, that's one of the benefits of a guided meditation. I mean, it's not the guided meditations are very beneficial. But and you use them and use them and use them until you've got enough confidence to do it yourself. And don't just make a switch. Just get into the habit of occasionally doing one without a guided meditation, you know. Occasionally.
Thank you.
Works. Excellent. Thank you, Dan. Okay, one more before we finish.
Hi, Mary. It's Zoe.
Hi, Zoe.
Hi. It's just a question, really, about what to do when you've got pain. So I was trying to sit in upright posture on my cushion, but quite often I get a pain in this side of my neck. So I know I've heard different things in the past about try and not get involved in the pain, try and kind of let it go, breathe it out. And then other people say, well, if you've got a pain, just stretch it out and then come back. I don't know what your thoughts are.
Let's maybe leave that till tomorrow.
Okay.
Be one of the things we'll look at tomorrow. I think you've basically covered it all, but we'll take that as a certain point for tomorrow, if you don't mind, Zoe, because it's getting a bit. But thank you for that. Okay. So homework. So no surprise, I want you to keep practicing being aware if your mind's dull, if your mind's agitated. So the two meditations, I'd like you to try again on meditation on the breath. That's page 37 to 41 on the how to meditate. And the other meditation is the appreciation of human life, our human life, page, how to meditate, page 59 to 64. Now that's my suggestion, but if you would prefer to use some of the other meditations you've done on impermanence, then feel free to choose that. Here's the point. I want you to recognize how your mind is. Is it dull? Is there too much agitation? Choosing an antidote. Did it work? Did it not work? And if you've got, maybe up it now to two antidotes. And if one doesn't work, try the other. So the whole emphasis is on recognizing the mind that's agitated, recognizing the mind that's dull, and quickly applying the antidote and resuming the meditation. Thank you. So, we gather up all the energy mentally. All this positive energy. There's nothing more positive than practicing Dharma. Nothing will bring greater joy to all sentient beings than practicing Dharma. Not many people doing that. So gathering up that energy, remembering the motivation you had, directing that energy towards achieving that motivation, keeping it safe. It keeps it safe. By dedicating, you keep it safe on your mind stream. So it will benefit you later. And just holding that thought, that dedicated thought. And then, if you're happy to do the prayers, we can do a short dedication prayer. having it up on the screen, maybe. So holding that thought, that directed thought, may whatever virtue I have collected benefit the teachings and all sentient beings. In particular, may it cause the essence of perfect, pure Losang Drakpa's teachings to shine forever. Thank you very much. So kind. I can't believe everybody turned up because it is absolutely stunning weather here at the moment. People might know. And so we meet again tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock.